I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi and Red, talking the rapids and turning heads, with questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home, thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line with Rabbi and Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Thursday, August 22nd, 2024. It's going to be a short pod tonight, folks. Mark and I were chatting earlier today, and we were thinking, okay, do we at least want to touch base? You know, we both have really simple and straightforward and quick thoughts on last night's loss to LAFC. The Rapids lost 4-0 to LAFC in the League's Cup semifinal, if you didn't see, listeners. You know, so was it going to be a lot of effort logistically for us to get together, talk for 20 minutes about a game that felt inevitable, that followed a really similar script to previous games the Rapids have played there, and then to give our general thoughts on Philly? So Thursday nights are a little tough for me if we're not doing it super late, and that's usually after Mark's bedtime, given he's on the East Coast. And Friday nights are difficult for him, given he's a professional Jew. So we were chatting, and I said, okay, send me a voice note, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and I'll cover the rest. I'll give my thoughts on the lost LAFC. I'll play your voice note, and then I'll talk about the Philly game. Mark did send me the voice note. It's right around 4 minutes. He jokingly said it was 1 minute for each goal that LAFC scored. So let's get into it. Last night in the League's Cup semifinal, League's Cup Western Conference final, Colorado Rapids lost 4-0 to LAFC at BMO Stadium. The goals were from Matty Bogush in the 42nd, former Colorado Rapids striker Kai Kamara on the stroke of the end of the first half, then Denny Bowanga off of a Rapids corner in the 59th minute, and Lewis O'Brien opened his LAFC account in the 75th minute. We did see a halftime substitution of one Olivier Giroux, and he was denied his first goal with the black and gold after VAR had the official look back on a penalty that was given in favor of LAFC and chose to overturn that. Sam Vines with a high boot on an LAFC player, but Vines did get first to the ball. So if we're applying the Fotis Bazakos logic of this from the Zlatan game against the Colorado Rapids, technically an LAFC player headbutted, shouldered Sam Vines' leg after Sammy had already won the ball. In any case, I thought it was a frantic opening 40 minutes in which I think the Rapids were in the game, but it felt like it was on thin ice in terms of LAFC were getting the better of the chances. They had a clear pattern phase that they were looking for in terms of trying to open the Rapids up, and they were getting some big chances. Zach Steffen made some, you know, two really big saves on a sequence just in the opening seconds of the match, and so it was just a matter of, were the Rapids going to quickly address that? They were matching LAFC's intensity. I think they were doing good stuff in terms of trying to go forward to get the ball in the good areas, but it's just when LAFC turned over the ball in midfield or got that ball into the area where they were switching it, usually to the left, usually to Bowanga, he was in open space and able to create and able to do really good stuff. And I don't know what was causing that in terms of that should not have come as a surprise to the coaching staff. That was something that was a problem the last time these two teams played at BMO Stadium, which I believe was a 3-0 win for LAFC. And so how were they not addressing it? And it's just, it's another game in which I think the Rapids come out and maybe are a little more aggressive or try to play the opponent just a little bit more straight up, and the result is Keegan Rosenberry on an island with an opposing attacker who's really, really good. Is that exclusively on Keegan? Is that on somebody else? I'm not entirely sure. At one point, there was a sequence where an LAFC attacker, I think it was Bowanga, and I think it was in the first half, where he was going in between Jonathan Lewis and Keegan Rosenberry, and like there was nobody else defensively in 20 yards in there. LAFC is a really good team, listeners. LAFC might be the best team in MLS. They are going to the League's Cup final on Sunday at Columbus Crew. That is a rematch of MLS Cup last year. And if you told me right now that LAFC was going to win two trophies the rest of this year, I would say that doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility. That seems very plausible for them. This is a team that should finish no worse than third in the Supporters Shield standings. This is a team that I believe will finish top of the MLS Western Conference. And I don't know, in the history of my time covering this league, I don't know that I've seen another team in MLS that is better, that is playing more downhill when they are at home up a goal and able to just sit back in banks of four and then come at you, or sit back in a back four, wait for you to come at them, start to press in the midfield, and then go straight on the counter with the attacking pieces that they have. I don't know that there's another team that's like that. Dennis Bouanga, that goal that he scored in the 59th, that might be the best goal that I've seen all this entire calendar year in all competitions that I've watched. And so that's including the back half of the European season that I was watching, that included Champions League, Copa America, the Euros, etc. I don't know that 2010's Landon Donovan scores that goal in terms of coming off of a Rapids corner. LAFC deals with it. It gets clear just outside the box. There's a quick sequence. Olivier Giroud's in there, and Bouanga picks up the ball 50 yards, 70 yards from goal, and is able to take it entirely on his own and is able to score that goal. Should the defending have been better from the Rapids? Yes. If there was one team and one opponent and one scenario in which you don't completely lambast them for that, I think it's this game against LAFC. Everybody has their bogey teams. Everybody has stadia that they go to and play poorly in. You know, AFC Richmond canonically hadn't won for, what, 50, 70 years going away to Everton, and they're in a relegation battle, and Ted Lasso shows up, and they're able to find a way to win that game at Goodison Park, albeit in a fictional context. But the Rapids are bad when they go to Providence Park. The Rapids are bad when they go and play at LAFC. All time, they are now 0-7 in that stadium, with an aggregate scoreline of 21-2. Everybody has teams that they play poorly in, and chance, and most teams in most sports and most leagues on this planet, a good team can go on the road to one of, if not the best teams in the league, who's only lost one game all season at their stadium, go there and get beat, and that doesn't completely undo everything else that the Rapids have done. That doesn't undo the successes that they've had in league play overall. That doesn't undo this League's Cup run as well. There's still, I think this League's Cup run has been fun. As someone who has been an absolute Grinch towards League's Cup, the Rapids have been fun in this competition. They have been good in this competition. They are officially the first MLS team to win four straight games against Liga MX opposition. No other MLS team right now can say that. That is a massive accomplishment, even if it does not come with a trophy. And to cap that off with getting revenge in regulation against a Toluca team that eliminated you last year, and then to cap that off with a historic win, a lore-building victory, a game that Rapids fans are going to remember in a decade's time, against a Gigante, possibly the biggest club on the continent, in Club America, in a de jure Club America home game. You know, this loss doesn't take away that. And so I think that's worth reminding people. I think where this now goes from, do we want to remember League Cup as something that was emotionally significant, or something that was competitively achieved something? And so that's where we turn to the game against Philadelphia Union. I'll get to that in a minute. But I do want to highlight that even if, again, to further emphasize, the Rapids could go to Philadelphia Union, they could lose 2-3, 4-0 in this game, and I still think, even if the Rapids don't achieve anything, they don't accomplish anything in terms of a trophy or CONCACAF Champions qualification, there's still a number of things that happened through this League Cup run that I think will be relevant for the stretch run of the regular season and for and for a potential playoff run. I want to start with Zach Steffen refinding the version of himself that got him into the national team, that made him a massive part of Columbus Crew in 2018-2019, that got him a transfer to Manchester City and won him MLS Goalkeeper of the Year. And so I think if Zach Steffen, you know, yeah, he shipped four goals the other night, but if you take Zach Steffen from April, May of this year and put him in goal in that game, it's probably 6-7-0. He made a number of really big saves. He has made big saves in every single one of these League's Cup games. And if that's the goalkeeper that the Rapids are getting for the rest of this year, that are getting a guy who is absolutely an above average shot stopper, they're getting a guy who can absolutely steal goals away from the opposition in penalty situations. That penalty is not automatic for the opposition, and he's done all of that without detracting from his leadership skills or what he's done in terms of organizing the back line or his ability to play out of the back, which continues to be important tactically for the Rapids. So if nothing else, having some fun, beating some Mexican teams, and Rapids fans being able to revel in that and be hydrated by the tears of Liga MX teams and just have fun and getting, you know, and having their goalkeeper arrive and achieve a level that we were kind of hoping he could achieve or were questioning about him, is an achievement. I think Lalas Abubakar getting more games to iterate on what he's doing in the back line, given that we know now that Moise Pompito has left the club, I think is certainly a net positive. And Georgi Mihailovic coming back from the Olympics and being energized emotionally despite being maybe physically drained, to be good for himself, good for Rafael Navajo, good for Cole Bassett and the other players around him, that's good as well. The only real negative I can see, if, you know, it's two blowout losses this week, is still I'm concerned about Sam Vines. And I know there's been, we had an Ask HDHL, I'll cover it now even without referencing it directly, of concerns about Vines' defensive prowess, the fact that Mexican teams were regularly targeting their right, the Colorado's left side of the field in terms of which flank that they wanted to go down. And was that because those teams were just naturally better positioned tactically going down their right flank, or did they very quickly, very simply on a surface level scout the Rapids defensively, identify Sam Vines as a weakness, and then rather digging any deeper, they just said, okay, let's go at their left back. And Sam Vines still goes up into the middle, into the attack, and sometimes makes poor passes that puts the Rapids in a bad situation in terms of counterattacks. That wasn't the reason that the Rapids lost against LAFC. They, you know, I think if, you know, if the Rapids are able to keep that 1-0 or able to get to halftime 0-0, maybe it's a different game. But as soon as Kai Kamara scored that goal, I think LAFC knew what they were expecting. And LAFC was running downhill in the second half. And by the final 20 minutes, they were playing with their food. And Colorado just didn't create enough from that. And they had to give up more. They had to contribute more attacking-wise in order to try and get back into the game. That left them in a worse situation defensively. And that was just a positive feedback loop that plays into LAFC's game plan perfectly. But so Sam Vines continues to be a concern for me. I think we're continuing to wait for the 2021 or the 2020 version of him to arrive. I want to remind listeners that a lot has happened for Sam Vines in the last 12 months. I think it's clear that, you know, it was a tough moment for him being left out of Champions League with the way that that happened. And I think we saw this earlier on in the year for Georgi Mihailovic, where, you know, Georgi's coming back, moving to a new city, getting married, having the things going on with his mom's health, and then becoming a father as well. And it maybe, I'm not making an excuse for this. I haven't spoken to Georgi explicitly about this, but, you know, that's a lot to happen in your life in 4 to 6 months, and that can affect you professionally. And so how much of Sam Vines coming back, maybe the disappointment from what happened, what didn't happen in Europe, buying a house, getting that thing sorted, getting married, dealing with family stuff now that that's more of a presence, which can be a positive thing, but in the short term can be take some time getting used to and getting back into that rhythm, is maybe affecting you. We have seen other MLS players go to Europe, come back with their tail between their legs, and refine their form in MLS, but it take 6 months, 8 months, maybe even a full season back in MLS for all of that to get sorted. I'm not ready to give up on Sam Vines. That being said, I think for the purposes of the rest of this season, I think the Rapids are stuck with, you know, Chris Armas trying to play him, making incremental changes in what he's doing with his fullbacks tactically, and hoping that that works, or hoping that that weak link can't be what costs the Rapids games. I go to training regularly. Jackson Travis is a great young talent. He's coming off of an injury from a month, maybe 2 months ago. He is not ready. He is not a better left back than Sam Vines. And your other option is playing Keegan Rosenberry and Sebastian Anderson, with one of them playing on their off-back position. Anderson's gotten two starts, really, this year at Houston, at LA Galaxy. He hasn't been great in either of them. I don't know that playing him out of position is a better option, or playing him at the right back position is an upgrade over Keegan Rosenberry, to say nothing of then playing Keegan in a position that's not natural to him. So I think the only other option would be a free agent left back. I don't think that's a permanent solution, or is likely to yield a better result than Sam Vines, who has at least familiarity with his position and how the team wants him to play. And the only other thing would be bringing back the other Navarro, back from his loan in Argentina. And he seems to be happy. He seems to be playing well there. And there's an option to buy. And I think Porrick Smith would be willing to let that play out if it means they can be a couple hundred K up financially going into 2025. The club's not ready to give up on Sam Vines. I am not ready to give up on Sam Vines either. I understand fans being frustrated and having question marks and doubting him at this point. Okay, that's enough masculine melancholy. Listeners, here's Sam Vines's voice note. Excuse me. Here is Rabbi Mark Goodman's voice note, and I will be back with you in 4 minutes to preview Philadelphia Union in the third place game on Sunday.
Hey, this is your guy, Rabbi Mark, just checking in to let all you out in Rapids Land know how to feel about losing this match. And the answer is, not great, but not terrible either. The Colorado Rapids more than exceeded expectation in the series and created great memories for Rapids fans. They won an amazing game against Club America, and also beat León and Juárez and Toluca on the way to getting knocked out by LAFC. Am I happy to be knocked out by LAFC in Exposition Park, California once again? No, I am not. It seems like we don't quite really know how to beat this team. They have yet to kind of go in and match up. I felt like the Rapids came out in this match and tried to kind of go head-to-head a little bit too much, unlike in the game against Club America, where the team bunkered and held on for 90 minutes. I'm not sure the Rapids should have bunkered and held on for 90 more minutes against LAFC, but I think we have gone in under the Anthony Hudson era, and again in the Robin Fraser era, and tried to play LAFC more or less straight up, as if we can match wits and firepower and midfield possession against that team. And, you know, the answer has so far been no, we can't. You know, Dennis Bouanga, Kai Kamara, Bogush, you know, came in and scored that first goal on us in a beautiful play. And there's just no way around the fact that whatever we approached tactically in this match didn't quite come off the way we had hoped. It was a little ambitious, I would say. But that being said, they really left it out all on the field against America. And there's no way around the fact that these Colorado Rapids exceeded expectations to a degree that we're really proud of them. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. I've got a new article that just recently dropped on the holdingthehighline.substack.com. Check that out. It's about Moyes. It's about kind of Leagues Cup in general. You know, I turn it back over to Matt to kind of conclude this thought, as we're just dropping a quickie pod to close out Leagues Cup. We'll be back soon with more content after the tournament. Of course, the Rapids play this kind of funky 3-4 game where they have to go to Philadelphia and play the losers of that match and see whether anybody shows up for this one. I don't think it's a great idea to have a third place match, but, you know, it's a game. These guys are competitors. They'll go in. They'll put in a good shift, a good effort. And hopefully these Colorado Rapids will come away from this tournament having said that overall a run to the semifinal is a resounding success. They then return to league play with everyone kind of knowing who they are and what they're capable of. And they run to the end of the season with 10 more games on the schedule with hopefully a lot of gas left in the tank. Despite the fact that they've lost Moise Bombito, they will go into the end of the season, hopefully in good form. And it looks like we are kind of well on our way to chalking up 2024 as a resounding success, regardless of how the rest of the results turn out. That being said, it'd be nice to win MLS Cup this year. Back to you, Matt.
And I'm back. Hello, listeners. Matt Pollard holding the high line with Rabbi in Red, looking ahead to this Sunday's game against Philadelphia Union. This will be Sunday, August 25th at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time. The Colorado Rapids will head out to Subaru Park in Chester, Pennsylvania, and they'll be playing Philadelphia Union in the third place game of League's Cup. I don't know if there's an actual like bronze medal. Do they get a trophy for this? I'm not sure on the specifics of that. But one thing that is certain, listeners, is that the winner of this game will automatically qualify for the knockout rounds of this coming 2025 CONCACAF Champions, which would be a very, very big deal for the Colorado Rapids to achieve in their first year under Chris Armas. Philadelphia Union did finish third place in League Cup last year, and they won this game. It was a third place home game, I believe, against Monterrey, and it was a blowout win for the Philadelphia Union. The Philadelphia Union are coming out mostly in a 4-4-2 diamond or a 4-1-2-1-2. For the FIFA and Football Manager players out there, there's a lot of players here that anyone who's watched the Philadelphia Union for the last several years will be familiar with, and there's not a significant amount of change from the lineup that would have played against the Colorado Rapids in that 6-0 drubbing in 2022 that saw, who was it who got sold off? Was it Gustavo Villasia? I think it was Gustavo Villasia who got a rage quit second yellow in that game, and that was a horrible road trip for the Rapids. In any case, it's Jacob Lesnes and Jack Elliott at the center back position. Andre Blake, the Jamaican international, is in goal for Philadelphia. He is back in similar ways that Zach Steffen is back for the Colorado Rapids. Blake had an absolutely fantastic PK shootout earlier in this competition for the Union. Kai Wagner, one of, if not the best left backs in MLS, is back as well. Jose Martinez, who has been a really, really good poop housing number six for the Colorado Rapids, a guy who is definitely a all holding the high line team kind of player, just got sold to a Brazilian club. So it's been Leon Flock in that position. That's a player that I know myself and Wanners have looked at from a Rapid standpoint, whether or not he'd be an interesting one. Old man USMNT Ali Bedoya is still captaining this side. And Jack McGlynn is the other shuttling number eight. Maybe kind of an Ollie LaRoz type if we're looking for a good Rapids comp for him. Daniel Gosdog is their number 10. Georgi Mihailovic is better than him, but Gosdog is still a very, very good number 10. And then it's been Mikael Ure, who's been playing up top. Ure, I can't remember if he's Danish or he's just played in Denmark, but I know he and Andreas Maxu know each other, and Andre spoke to Ure before coming to MLS to see what it was like and what he thought of the league. So that's a little tidbit or a club connection, if you will. I look forward to the Rapids Comstat putting that in the club connection section of the game notes that the club puts out. And then maybe the big young talent that Philadelphia Union, of course, have is Kevin Sullivan, 15-year-old player, possibly the next Freddie Adu. People have made those comparisons. I will not. And there's already a prearrangement for him when he turns 18 to be sold to Manchester City. So that tells you what people know of him. This is a team that's good in possession. This is a team that's good pressing, albeit mostly up the middle. This is not a team that necessarily likes to play explicitly out on the flanks. They are relative to other MLS teams, or certainly the opponents who the Rapids have played in this competition, I would say, are a relatively narrow team. There is no Brian Rodriguez. I can't remember the name of the winger from Leon, who I remember being particularly tricky. And there's definitely no Denny Bawanga, Matty Bogush, Ryan Hollingshead for the Rapids to deal with in this game. I do think Philadelphia is vulnerable. Glesnes did suffer an injury, and I know he was getting checked for a concussion in the final minutes of that Crew game after it was already 3-1 in the other semifinal. So I don't know that we've gotten an official report on his availability, but if Glesnes is not available, that will make life significantly easier for Rafael Navajo and for Georgi Mihailovic. I think this is a game the Rapids can win. I think this is a Union team that struggles if they do not get the first goal necessarily. And I think this is a game where if you come out, you can out-intensity them, I think, given the way that some of these competitions have gone for them. I think the Union have been really snake-bitten the last couple of years, even going back to their MLS Cup final against LAFC, where they just run up against a team that is on better form or that is more talented or better than them on paper, and they just feel like they're one piece away. This doesn't feel like a Rapids team that is incomplete, in that I don't see a position that's an obvious weakness. Yes, losing Moise Bombito and starting Lalsu Boubacar is certainly a downgrade. Yes, not having Kevin Cabral and having to play a Jonathan Lewis or another one of the wingers is something that Rapids fans have talked about. If you were to play Omir and Calvin Harris together, for example, I wouldn't have complaints. There's no hole right now for the Rapids. There's no position that you're looking at where a guy's playing in a position and he's clearly a bench guy who's starting. You know, that would be a Jasper Lofelson starting if Connor Ronan and all the other Raws weren't available. That would be maybe a Mike Edwards or a Sebastian Anderson having to start on the back line. Philly has a couple of those right now. Jakob Glesnes out, you know, might force one of the other center backs. And Baizo wouldn't be in that. Who would it be? Makayana. The fact that I'm not familiar with these players just speaks to the fact of how much Glesnes and Elliott are two of the first guys, you know, on the team sheet written in Sharpie. So I think that's a potential weakness. I think certainly the base of the diamond, whether it's a Flock, whether it's a McGlynn, somebody else in that position is certainly a downgrade over Jose Martinez. And where does that open space up for? That opens space up for where Rafael Navajo and Georgi Mihailovic are going to occupy. That opens up space for where Cole Bassett is eventually going to run into. So I think that's definitely an advantage for the Rapids. Normally, I would say the amount of travel the Rapids would have had to do would have been significant for this. Philly has been mostly the home team prior to the semifinal against Columbus, and you know that's a puddle jumper across the state of Pennsylvania, and then some for them to do it. But the fact that the Rapids had on paper away games that were at home to Dick's Sporting Goods Park, you know, the Rapids travel this competition the last couple of weeks, it's effectively been round trip to Philly and then round trip to Los Angeles. The Rapids did not come home after the game against Club America, so they stayed through to Los Angeles, and then presumably they're getting into Philly. I haven't checked, but I knew that they were not coming back to Colorado. They were going straight to wherever they were going for their game in the Eastern Conference this weekend. So presumably they're in Philadelphia or they're traveling today, the 23rd at time of listening, if you're listening to us on Friday. So the Rapids cut down on travel, which I think is a net positive towards them. And I think it could be it'd be very easy for the Rapids, given what happened in the other game at LAFC in league play, for them to dismiss that loss as that's something that's particular to what happens when they play at LAFC or their style of play that's specific to them and their quality, something the Philadelphia Union do not have and do not do. So I think Philly's vulnerable. If Glesnes is not out, I think the Rapids win this game. I'm hesitant to make a prediction right now because we don't know where that injury is or any others that have popped up. Chris Armas did say post-game, Georgi Mihailovic got a bit of a quick hook. I think he was out 60th, 70th minute, and the game wasn't over at that point, but it felt like a white flag from a substitution squad rotation standpoint. But Chris Armas confirmed post-game that Georgi was dealing with a little bit of sickness, maybe some flu-like symptoms. Unfortunately, Georgi Mihailovic is not his heiress Michael Jordan, but, you know, between Wednesday and Sunday and, you know, hopefully some vitamin C and some fluids and some sleep, Georgi will be feeling better from that. So I'm hesitant to give a prediction right now because, you know, is that something that maybe is just starting that Georgie is going to feel worse about and we're not going to know about? And we might not know the details of the Glesnes injury until the lineups actually come out. But I am cautiously optimistic. I'm leaning towards a Rapids win in this game, given the way that Philadelphia looked, given the way that the Rapids have looked in other games against good teams, and the fact that Philly just generally has been slightly more vulnerable. They look like a lesser version of themselves this year, and the Rapids are on the trajectories are opposite for these teams in the context of their league play. And I think it would be, I think it'll be easier for the Rapids to move on emotionally and reset for this game than it will be for Philadelphia, given the way that their game against Columbus happened. So I think that's all I got for that, listeners. Thank you for listening to Holding the High Line. Check us out on the socials. We're mostly on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Facebook. Rate, review, share, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. And we'll see you next week, hopefully after Mark has some really good stories of him physically attending this game as press against Philadelphia Union and the Rapids qualifying for CONCACAF Champions, and us previewing the FC Dallas game as the play resumes for the Burgundy Boys. Peace.
But I'm not going to cut this because, you know, it's Matt and he'll take care of it and it's fine.